This has been by thanking God for his love for us, for his love, for his mercy, for his salvation, for the opportunity to even be here and to be able to work for him in whatever capacity. We want to thank him for even coming to church. There's so many people who were not able to come for various reasons, but by the grace of God, we have health, we have strength, and we are able. Because of the one of blessings, we want to thank him. We want to acknowledge God for who he is. He's the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. There is none that can be compared unto God. And when we be ascribing that honor, which actually belongs to him, we are doing the right thing. So at this time, we just want to say, Father, we bless your name. We thank you, Father. We glorify your name. We know that without you, Lord, we wouldn't be here. That is why we are grateful in our hearts, because we can see that you are God, the only true God, the one that came down from heaven to save us. When you saw how useless we were in our sin, you said you sent forth your son to save us. That is the kind of God you are. You are God that protects his people, that saves his people. We bless you, Father, and we honor you for that. Let's pray and thank him. Let's glorify his name. Oh, remember all the things he's done for us. Had he not been for the Lord on our side, he has been the pillar of cloud by day and the moon by night, and giving us direction. That is the kind of God we have. Let's thank him, let's glorify his name, let's bless his name. Let's continue praying by committing today's service into the hands of God. The Bible says that they labor in vain if the Lord himself has not directed. They are living in vain. We don't want to do that today. We want to commit this service into the hands of God, that every aspect of it, from the prayer time to the praise and worship time to the message time, may God himself be the director. May God himself send forth his mighty spirit to direct and bless us. That indeed, as we have come to this place, we will never leave this place the same. And indeed, we will have something added to our lives, something added to our spiritual lives that will go a long way to help us in this fight, in this long race, in this thing that we call the Christian race. Let's commit the man of God into the hands of God. Let's pray that indeed the Holy Ghost will saturate him, Almighty God. That indeed everything that comes out of this public Almighty God will be that blessed Holy Spirit touching our hearts and melting our sins away, so that we can come before him knowing that indeed there is none that can be compared unto him. Throughout the week, may this time be a blessed time. Let's pray and commit the message, the man of God into you. May God be with him as he comes here. May God be with him throughout the week. Indeed, the Bible says that when the shepherd is speaking, the sheep are scattered. We do not want that to happen. We want our shepherd to be strong, so that indeed we can be led like sheep to the pasture, to that green pasture where our souls will be blessed continually in this life. Oh, let's commit apostle into the hands of God. Let's pray, Almighty God, that indeed in every aspect of his life, in his travelings, in everything that he does, may God be with him. May God, not only for this afternoon, but throughout, he will be traveling a lot. And it's only by the mercies of God that he continually goes. And what he's done, Father, is that what he aims to achieve is being done. Indeed, churches are raised up every day because we have a man of God who knows what he ought to do. We bless God for him. So let's pray and commit him to it. Even it's through him that this church, this Rancho Branch, will have the opportunity to come here. So let's thank God for his life. Let's pray that God adds to his life. We want to thank God finally for what he has done. For we know, Almighty God, that without you, Lord, we wouldn't be here. We bless your name, we honor you, Almighty God. We commit, Father, this service into your care. We know that you are God that loves his people, Almighty God, and you continually do so. We pray for every member of this church, whether they are here, whether they are here or not. May you, Father, be with them. May you protect them, Almighty God. May you send forth your Holy Ghost to guard and guide them, Almighty God. We thank you, Father, who commit this service into your care. We know you are God in our lives, and because of that, we have no fear. We bless you, Father, in Jesus' name, we pray with thanksgiving. Amen.
Amen.
Welcome.
Amen. 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 It's a blessing to be in the house of the Lord another time. Amen. And we want to just sing praises and unto his holy name, for not the fact that it's something that we do in church, but it's the simple fact that God deserves all the praise, all the glory, and all the adoration. Amen. Amen. How many of us know that God's grace is enough? Amen. Okay, it's okay. Bear with us. I experienced a few technical difficulties, but God is good. Amen.
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 So we are here even though it's raining and the weather has changed a bit, but God is merciful and he's faithful and just in all that he does. And he's found the rental branch, so he'll continue to work with us and give us strength to finish it. Amen.
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 Amazon Prime Now. Free 2-hour delivery.
Sorry.
So just give a hand clap of praise unto the Lord, for he is good, for he is greatly to be praised for. Amen. While we're waiting, as everyone knows, I went to Ghana with Apostle and to the World Shepherds Congress, and it was a blessing not only to just be there, but to go back to the source and to just be able to be home, like, because it's home. So just being able to be there, and even though they had the other bishops to be there and teach us and for us to learn, it was like nothing changed, because we all have our shepherds, which is bishops, so we just want to give thanks unto him. Amen.
Amen.
So put your hands together this evening. Great.
Great is your faithfulness, O God. You wrestle with us and us hard.
Let's check that again. Great is.
Great is your faithfulness, O God. You wrestle with us and us hard. By still waters and to mercy,
and nothing can keep us apart.
And nothing can keep us apart.
We're singing your grace.
Your grace is enough. Your grace is enough. Your grace is enough for me.
Your grace is enough. take us unto the Lord, where He is getting all the praise, all the glory, all the adoration. Just begin to worship Him and just begin to tell Him how much His grace is enough, how He continues to provide you grace and mercy, which each day that comes, how He continues to pour down His Spirit upon us. We want to just take this time out and sing out unto Him and ask Him to come and pour His Spirit down over our church, over our lives. We want us to want Him to fill us with His Spirit, with His love, with His joy, with His peace, with His anointing, with His praise, and that we always continue to sing praises unto His name for each and everything that He's given us, with each and every ability that we have, with each and every gift and talent that we have. Oh, Holy Spirit, come down and rain upon us this today. Rain upon us today. We need Your presence, Lord.
Touch me. church, into our lives. Oh, Holy Spirit, we need your touch each and every day. Oh God, we thank you. We thank you, oh God, for this time of worship, oh God, for this time of praise, for not only are we here to give it to you, oh God, but you deserve it, oh Heavenly Father, each and every day, oh God, and each and every hour, oh Heavenly Father. And we thank you, oh God, for blessing us with another day, giving us breath, oh Heavenly Father, to sing out your praises, oh Heavenly Father, unto you, oh God. We thank you, oh Heavenly Father. I pray, oh God, that you touch each and every life, oh God, in this place, oh God, that you meet us at our needs, oh Heavenly Father, oh God, for they vary in different ways, oh God, but we know your word, oh God, has been, oh God, here for us, oh God, to touch our lives, oh God, to change us and mold us in the way you want us to go, oh God. So I ask for you to meet us at our needs, oh Heavenly Father. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. Let's go around and welcome one another and say it's a beautiful day. Amen.
He said at the end that seed time and harvest time will never end. And indeed, it hasn't ended. So this is another time to make that prophecy come to pass by giving a good offering.
Amen.
One thing we know is that once we give that offering, even as we are sowing that seed, the harvest time will come.
Amen.
So let's give knowing that we have a God who is faithful.
Amen.
And the Bible says that let's not get weary in doing good as well. Heavenly Father, we thank you for today. We bless you for another opportunity to give into your kingdom. We thank you that you have provided for us and our families and that up to now we are alive. It is not by might, but by power, but by your spirit. We thank you for giving to us. Even as we give into your kingdom, Almighty God, may you go into the heavens, Almighty, that every soul that is not won may be won. We bless you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you. a standing ovation. Welcome our very own Apostle Joel.
Amen. Look where you brought me. Amen. One day we're going to look back and say, look where you brought me. Do you believe it? I believe it. Amen. One day when LA is full of lighthouse churches, we're going to say, look where you brought me. One day when many of you have become pastors with your own congregations, we cannot even find you. You're very busy doing counseling. Daniel, we cannot even find you. Amen. What a privilege it is. Father, we are so grateful today again for another opportunity to serve you twice in one day. What a privilege. It's a blessing, and we recognize it as such. Thank you for the strength and energy you even give to us for this work. Thank you for sustaining us and for encouraging us and keeping us encouraged. We pray, Lord, that you will bless the seed we're about to sow in this area again, in the name of Jesus. Let your blessing fall on this one more seed we are sowing. We pray that add to whatever we have been doing up to now. And we pray for fruit and for increase. Bless our time in your word. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
All right. Please be seated. Look where you've brought me. Amen. Wow. So I am sharing with you. This morning I was talking about the importance of strengthening yourself as a Christian, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. The importance of strengthening yourself as a Christian. And I gave you a number of reasons. Amen.
Amen.
Now, this afternoon in this church, I want to share with you how you can be a zealous Christian.
Wow.
These are nice Christian messages, isn't it? And when I became a Christian a long time ago, these were the things that they used to share in the Scripture Union.
Amen.
That was before prosperity and other things came. That was before take it one, take it two, and take it however many times you want to take it. Amen. Galatians chapter 4 and verse 18 was a very popular verse in my early Christian days. It says, you know, I remember Bishop Eddie because of this verse.
Wow.
Anytime I see this verse, I remember him because he is the first person I had reading and teaching and sharing the lens of this verse in my little small neighborhood fellowship. Right. So it says, it is good to be zealously affected always in a good thing, not only when I am present with you. That's Philippians chapter, Galatians chapter 4 and verse 18. It is good to be zealously affected always in a good thing. Amen.
Amen.
It is good to be zealously, passionately affected, influenced, and impacted by something good you are doing.
Yeah.
Always.
Always.
Amen.
Amen.
That is one of the ways to become or remain a strong, on fire type of Christian through the years. Amen?
Amen.
That is that at every point in your life, you are zealously, not passively involved with something, waiting for it to end, or looking for an opportunity not to participate in it, but rather making room and even finding the opportunity and creating the opportunity to be zealously affected with a good thing. Hallelujah.
Amen.
That is how you're going to stay on fire for the Lord. The Bible teaches that as we go nearer and nearer to the end times, the Bible says that as sin multiplies, one of the natural effects on Christians will be that the love of many will drop.
Yeah.
It will wax cold.
Wow.
Have you seen that verse before? Matthew chapter 24 and verse 2. It says, and because iniquity shall abound, because iniquity shall abound, the love is, are you bringing the verse? Who's sharing the verses today? All right. Yeah. Jesus said to them, see ye not all these things. Verily I say unto you, there shall not, 24 and verse 12, not 2. Verse 2, yeah. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold.
Wow.
Wow. So the Bible is teaching that as we approach the last days, or in the times and seasons in which we live, as we hear bad news after bad news, as we look everywhere and there is sin and opportunity to sin and so many evil things all around us, the natural effect or the natural tendency in terms of effect on Christianity is that the love of many will wax cold. Many people are going to backslide. Many people are going to drop the temperature of their love. They will not be on fire for God like they used to. We're going to see more and more of cold to lukewarm type of Christianity. People who are not so hot, not so cold either. It's like they're warm enough to be called not cold. Do you understand? But not hot enough to be described as hot. Do you see? It is going to happen, the Bible says. So that calls them, or that makes this verse even all the more important, that you must keep yourself on fire for God by being zealously affected in a good thing always. Amen.
Amen.
I think that for me, one of the secrets that, and it's a secret because it's not intentional, it's not an intentional choice per se, but as I have found myself to be very busy, there's not much time to backslide. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah, because I'm busy all the time doing something for the Lord.
Wow.
You know, we just finished the service, and this was right after the service, and I was talking to some people for a long time. Then I got in the car and started talking to another person all the way here, and then get out of the car and come to be preaching. I mean, there's not much room for backsliding. Hallelujah. It is not a bad thing to be busy for Jesus.
Amen.
Are you hearing what I'm saying? It is not a bad thing to be busy for Jesus. We need to stay zealous for the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
We need to stay zealous. Jesus was a zealous person.
Oh, yeah.
He said, the zeal of the Lord has consumed me. Isn't it?
Yeah.
Paul was a zealous person. Paul was so zealous. Even before before he became a Christian, he was very zealous for the Lord. He would go voluntarily, he would go to the king, please, can you sign a letter for me? Give me a letter. I want to arrest all these so-called Christians and put them in jail for you. No pay. Yeah. I just need to do it. I need your permission to do it. So he went to the chief priest and the governors and whoever the authorities were, and he applied for permit.
Yes.
He says, you look, I'll type my own letter, you just sign. Yeah, I'll bring my own paper, I'll bring my own ink, I'll print it and everything. I just need your signature that I'm authorized to arrest, you know, these new Christians who have come and they are destroying what we have known. Give me the permission. I'm going to personally arrest all these people. Yeah. And then he took that task upon himself.
Wow.
zealously moving around to do these things. So when he got converted, he always used to remind himself, hey, look, when he talk about zeal, I was persecuting the church. Paul described himself as being injurious to the church. He said, I caused the church a lot of injury. Yeah. So then how much more now that I'm on the church's side, I need to work for God. So one day when some prophet came up and said, you know, he got to a meeting, there was a meeting, somebody's coat was there, and then he took it and said, whose coat is this? And everybody was quiet. Then he took a rope and he tied it. Then he said that the owner of this coat, wherever he's going next, that's what is going to happen to him. A lot of us would have said, it's not my coat. It's not my coat. I have not taken it home. But at that point, he owned up. He said, that's my coat. And he said, oh, you said they are going to tie the person. I am prepared to die, not even to be tied. So for the tying is a small problem. You know, thank you for your prophecy, but I will not detach myself from this at all. Hallelujah. So it is good to be zealously affected always. You need to keep your zeal for the Lord, his work, and the things of God. Hallelujah. You need not to burn out. You need not to be tired of serving the Lord. But you need to rather do certain things that will keep your zeal burning, that will keep you on fire. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I'm going to show you a couple of things that you can do to help you remain zealous for the Lord. Say amen.
Amen.
Number one, to be zealous, or you can stay zealous by not comparing yourself with other Christians. You can stay zealous by not comparing yourself with other Christians. 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 12, the Bible says, for we dare not make ourselves of the number or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves. But they, measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves, are not wise. Amen.
Amen.
It says, they measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves are not wise. Amen.
Amen.
If you continue to compare yourself with another Christian, especially the average Christian in today's world, do you see?
Yeah.
You are likely to have a wrong measure. See, the measure is the standard. You are likely to use the wrong standard when you compare yourself with another Christian, especially modern time, modern day Christians. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Yeah, let's just wait for Onassis and his family to get settled. Good to see all of you. It's really powerful. I love large families because as soon as they come to church, the whole church is full. It's beautiful. I love that. Amen. That's nice. Hallelujah. Are you there? So we're just sharing. I just started preaching. Okay. Right. So I am saying that when you compare yourself with another Christian, what you do is you use or run the risk of using the wrong standard. Are you getting it? You will use the wrong standard to assess yourself and to assess whether you are doing well or not. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Now, Christians are in a habit of comparing themselves with other Christians. You know, churches comparing themselves with other churches. And sometimes you look at yourself and you look at your brother and you see what your brother is not doing and you look so much better.
Hey.
Are you getting what I'm saying? See, when you see someone who is going forward and has even started slowing down, somebody who used to be driving at, let's say, 60 miles per hour, who has started slowing down, he's still moving faster than someone who is driving at 20 miles per hour. So even though his backsliding process has begun, he's still moving faster than a lot of people who are actually even claiming to be going forward.
Yeah.
Do you understand? This is the risk that we run when we make other Christians our standard. So if you want to stay zealous for the Lord, number one, do not compare yourself with another Christian. Amen.
Amen.
Don't find out who is coming to church or not. Well, I mean, I go to church twice a week or once a week. This other person does not even go at all. Or he goes once a month. So it makes me so much better. And his once a month backsliding state warms me up so much and keeps me comfortable when I am myself actually backsliding. Are you getting what I'm saying? You look around, there are so many Christians. You see people who don't do so many things. People who only go to church once a month or once every so often. People who do not give or pay their tithe. People who do not read their Bibles. People who do not pray every day. And you look at yourself and you do some of these things. It makes you or feeds you with a certain deception that you are so much better than all these people. Isn't it?
Yeah.
And that's why the Bible says people who measure themselves by themselves, that's you get the tape measure that you are using to assess yourself is another person just like you. He says such people are not smart. Amen.
Amen.
We need to look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith.
Amen.
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 Do not use any Christian brother or sister as your standard for whether or not you're doing well. You should read the Bible and see whatever the Bible is requiring us to do, that is what should be the standard.
Yeah.
Whether everyone around you is doing it or not.
Amen.
Can I have an amen?
Amen?
Everyone around you doing it or not does not make it right. It doesn't make it the standard. Just Jesus is the standard.
Yeah.
Amen?
Amen?
And if we follow that, we are likely to stay zealous for the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. We're likely to still travel for meetings. We are likely to still do so many things that involve sacrifices because you're not comparing yourself with anyone. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I do not compare myself with any pastor. I'm just trying to do what the Lord has given me grace to do.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
I don't know what other pastors are doing in LA. I really don't even know any other pastor in LA. I'm just in my corner, and I'm just trying to do the best that I can for my Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And so you also need to do your best. You need to rise up and do your best. Do not compare yourself with anyone. You know, it always feels comfortable when you're not the only one not doing so well, isn't it?
Yeah.
It feels very nice. You wake up, you didn't have your quiet time, you meet another person who says, you know, today I didn't get to have my quiet time. That makes two of us. I'm not so bad after all. And you start to feel comfortable. You start to feel like, oh, you're not such a bad person. You understand? Because it's a difficult feeling when you think you're the only bad person.
Uh-huh.
Or the only one who is failing.
Yeah.
Or the only one who is not doing well. It's a difficult feeling to carry. You know? So we are all comforted. In class, when there's an exam or a test or something, and you get your score, and you realize you didn't do well, you are sad until you find out that so many other people didn't do well. Isn't it? Yeah. So when you realize that so many other people didn't do well, it brings a comforting feeling to you that, you are not the standard. But you fail to realize that those other people are not the standard. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Those other people are not the standard. Jesus is the standard.
Amen.
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 Jesus is the standard. So if you want to remain zealous, do not compare yourself with other people. And it's going to be a blessing to you. Say amen.
Amen.
Number two, you stay zealous, you can remain zealous by focusing on the soon coming Christ. You can remain zealous by focusing on the soon coming Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Now, one of the things we do not hear much about in these days is that Jesus is coming again.
Yeah.
It is rare that you will hear a sermon about the rapture, about the fact that one day Jesus is coming again. That's what this whole game is about. It's about going to heaven. And going to heaven means that one day Jesus is going to come for us. Hallelujah.
Amen.
When you lose sight of that, you kind of settle into a mediocre kind of Christianity and you lose a lot of your fire and you lose a lot of your zeal. The routine of Christianity and going to church and getting busy with church or in the choir and so on and so forth can make you lose track of what this whole thing is about.
Yeah.
Do you understand?
Yeah.
And sometimes you need to take back or sit back and take stock of what the whole purpose of this movement is. What are we trying to do? Then you realize that you have to keep your focus on the fact that Jesus is coming again. And more important, that his coming could be any day.
Mm.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
That his coming could be what?
Any day.
He said he's coming like a thief in the night.
Hey.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
Look at this verse in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 2. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 2 and 3. It says, and the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. The day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. Hallelujah.
Amen.
For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. Hallelujah.
Amen.
It's actually comparing it with the suddenness of, let's say, labor. Do you see, when someone is going to have a baby, you know, one of these days you're going to hear, one of these days you're going to hear that finally our baby has happened. Do you understand? Yeah. See, now the doctors probably have given a date, but as she sits here, I'm sure you're expecting any time, isn't it? You're expecting that any time. So it shouldn't take you by surprise at all. I remember one lady who were having a camp meeting somewhere. She was expecting a baby and she really wanted to be at the camp. So as she was going to the camp, she carried her files and her you know, her medical documents and the baby things in her car. That as soon as she goes into labor, she's going to go to the nearest hospital and say, doctor, these are my papers. Let me drop this baby here.
Oh my God.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
You know, so they live in expectation.
Yeah,
they're
always
expecting. You know, they do not allow themselves to be caught off guard. They are expecting. In fact, the word is expecting. Another word for pregnancy is an expectant mother, isn't it?
Yeah.
Someone who is expecting. She doesn't lose track at all of what this whole thing is about. Do you understand?
Yeah.
Now, a thief, on the other hand, is someone we don't expect, isn't it?
Yeah.
We don't expect. And Jesus said he's coming like a thief in the night. Who does not give notice? Who does not tell you today he's arriving? You just look and suddenly you have been robbed. And that's how the coming of the Lord is going to be. We are supposed to live every day expecting the coming of the Lord. Now, when you expect that Jesus is going to come, it greatly affects how you live.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it greatly affects how you live. It greatly affects how you think. It greatly reorganizes your value system. It greatly and significantly affects what is important to you and what is not important to you. Can I have an amen?
Amen.
So it's important for us, if we're going to stay on fire for the Lord, to think about Jesus and his coming. And to expect that it is true, Jesus is coming. Amen.
Amen.
The verse says, when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them, as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. Hallelujah.
Amen.
It is easier to be more focused on a future wedding. You know, I mean, if you're single, for example, you're usually thinking and imagining what your wedding would look like, what it should look like. Anytime you see something nice, you try to make a note of it. I know somebody who has been planning her wedding. She doesn't even have someone to marry yet.
Aww.
But she's been planning the wedding. She sees something, she take a photograph of it and store it. And she take a photograph of this and store it. I like my bridesmaid to wear this. I like this person. And she's planning and planning and planning and planning for the wedding, which is okay. But what she doesn't realize is that the coming of Christ is more imminent than the wedding.
Yeah.
That perhaps rather than a wedding, what you will get is an arrival of Christ. Are you understanding what I'm saying? So yes, plan for the future and do all that. But we are supposed to expect, you see, it's like somebody playing musical chairs. You know musical chairs.
Yeah.
Put some two seats here. And do you have some music for us? You see? Yeah. Put the seat here. Let me move this guy. A Christian is supposed to live like someone who is playing. There should be three of us, isn't it?
Yeah,
all one. Okay, all right, two people. Right. So, you know, so there are two of us, just me and him. All right. Okay. Well, let's have three. We should put two chairs. Bring another one. Yeah. Lord, you want to play? Like that?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So, we need something that's a bit more upbeat. Yeah. Now, when people are playing this game, the object of the game is that when the music stops, you don't want to be caught off guard. Do you see what I'm saying? But you're supposed to be dancing. Hey, lift the music, lift so that people can play. You have to stop when I have a seat. I cannot stop in the wrong place. But I need the music. Play the thing. You see? Now here is the thing. The problem with this game is that when people are playing this game, the ones who lose the ones who lose in this game are people who get carried away by the music.
Yeah.
That they lose track of the objective. Do you understand? You see some people, and the longer the music plays, the more they go into the song. You see that thing? They enjoy the music, but they forget that they are supposed to. Yes, you are supposed to enjoy the music, but while you're doing that, you're supposed to keep your eye on the spot. So when the music stops, you're supposed to catch a spot. That should not take you off guard. So when people are dancing, give us the music, you know. As we're going around, we're going to work every morning. We go for night duty. Then we come back. See, then he has one baby, he's having another one. You know, so having babies. Then people are buying cars, you know. Then you're going to go and do your second degree, isn't it? Yeah, just keep dancing, right? Just keep dancing. Play it loudly so the music is nice. Yeah. Then you go to some party or something. Yeah. Then they say they're having baby shower for Pastor Charles, isn't it? Then you keep going. Then you keep going. Let me remove this. The two of you do it. Yeah. You see? And then. You see? So many things. Then you hear that your grandmother died. So you have to travel and go for the funeral. Then you hear that they are making contribution to renovate the family house. And so you are getting involved with that also. Then you start to see a promotion has come up at your workplace. There is a chance if you can do this course, you may be able to get it. You see, so you are so busy, you are so busy, and then suddenly the music stops. You see? Do you understand what I'm explaining to you? So what the Lord is expecting us to do is to keep dancing to the tune of life, but to keep our eye on His coming. Are you understanding what I'm saying? That every time you're doing something, yes, you're trying to take care of school, yes, you're trying to take care of your children, yes, you're having another baby, you're having marital difficulties, or you're enjoying marital bliss, whatever it is, and whatever your situation is, as you go around, you're supposed to keep your eye on the seat. You are not supposed to be caught off guard. Wow. Hallelujah. Wow. Because one day, in the middle of everything, Jesus is going to appear. Hallelujah. This is the true Christian message.
Wow.
This is the real Christian biblical message that Jesus is coming again. The Bible says He's coming with the clouds and every eye will see Him. As our world gets more and more mysterious, as we see so many things happening, it's becoming more and more evil. Don't you even get the feeling that this thing is going to end at some point?
Yeah.
No, because if you just think even naturally, you should naturally think that if this doesn't end, what will happen next? Do you understand? Look at what is happening in Paris. You know, so many people dying, so much happening. There's not a continent on which there is no trouble. Every place has some problem, and you can see that the earth itself is crying for something. Everything is culminating to some kind of an end. We don't know what it is, but we know from the Bible that Jesus is going to come again, and it will be preceded by terrible times. The Bible calls them perilous times. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So all the things we are hearing and seeing in the news and so on, we shouldn't take them for granted. Yes, don't say that because they are doing so, saying so many things in the news, it means Jesus is coming this week, so you won't go to work. You understand? You are not supposed to think that way. You are supposed to keep dancing. You cannot, when the music starts, can you play the music? When the music starts, you can't park yourself here and say that as for me, I'm waiting for the song to stop so I can sit down. So as people are moving around, you just come and stand here and you're not moving anywhere. That's not the rule for the game. You cannot play the game like that. So you're supposed to keep moving. But every step you take, you must revolve. You have to be dancing and be moving, but your eye never leaves the chair. You know, you walk as closely to it as possible. You know, your whole life must have an expectation of the coming of the Lord in mind. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Yeah, some of us are thinking. You're thinking about your children. You're going to have children. You're thinking about when you become a grandfather or a grandmother. You know, you're thinking about when you become an in-law. Yeah. You're thinking about all kinds of things. Great. Go ahead and dream about all those things. But you should also expect that possibly it may not happen.
Yeah.
But rather that something greater than that is going to happen to you.
Yeah.
Which is that you're going to find yourself raptured up into heaven to go walk on the streets of gold. I mean, the streets of big Christians are no longer excited about the streets of gold. I heard someone say, I want my gold here. You see, you have become too worldly. Yeah. You get it? You have become so has no appeal to you. You are a backslidden Christian. You have totally missed your way. You understand? You have missed your way because the world and its standards have replaced the ideals that a Christian has to have. But I tell you, the Christians of old, the Christians in the book of Acts, I mean, even when they were stoning them, they were smiling. Stephen was looking up and rejoicing as people were throwing rocks at him, killing him. He was happy, just looking in anticipation of heaven. I mean, he was looking up and he couldn't wait to join them in heaven. That is how a Christian is supposed to live. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Paul was saying that sometimes I'm confused. He said, I don't know whether to stay here and be with you and do more work for the Lord or to go and be with the Lord. He says, I'm actually just wondering which one is better. That is to die and go to heaven, because absent in the body is present with the Lord. So I don't know whether I should go and be with the Lord or should I stay here and work for the Lord. And he was just thinking about, because for him, heaven was a very imminent thing. It was a real thing, that it's the next step that is going to happen to any serious Christian. Hallelujah.
Amen.
If you are thinking about the rapture, you mind what you do. See, Christians are often controlled by, will someone see me or not? What determines what we do is what people will say if they see us. So we have become, you see, again, measuring ourselves by ourselves. It is because you are not caught, you think it's okay. Because someone doesn't know about it, you think it's okay. You understand? But if you're thinking about the rapture, you don't even care about whether someone will see you or not. You are concerned about, what if I miss the rapture?
Yeah.
What if I participate in this sin and Christ comes right after that? Or in the middle of it?
Yeah.
Hey! You're going to commit fornication. And when you start to think about the rapture, you think, you know, maybe I shouldn't. Because if it happens in the process, man, it is not going to be easy. Are you understanding what I'm sharing with you? A Christian will stay zealous if you think about Jesus coming. Amen. Think about Jesus coming. Andrew Crouch wrote a song. He says, soon and very soon, we are going to see the King. Isn't it? He says, soon and very soon, we are going to see the King. And he says, there'll be no more dying there. There'll be no more crying there. I mean, these are the things that would excite the older Christians. And the older Christians did more for us than we are doing even for the next generation, if they come and find anything at all. Are you hearing what I'm saying? The older Christians built churches. They established denominations for us. You know, denominations that we, after so many years, after 150 years, we can still find those churches and still go there and call them our mother churches and so on and so forth.
Wow.
But now we have a new kind of Christianity whose best hope is that a person will become rich here on earth, or that you get a visa, or that your green card will be processed. I mean, this is the highest expectation of a modern day Christian, that the Lord will bless him with a car, two cars, you know, a Toyota Sequoia. A Toyota Sequoia and a Toyota Camry. This is your dream, your whole expectation. And unless you see your Sequoia and your Camry, the Lord has not moved. You know, and the day you say the Lord has moved, it means your Sequoia has arrived and your Camry has arrived. We must have higher standards. Amen. And to stay zealous, we need to look unto Jesus. Always wake up every day knowing today could be the last day.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
That Jesus could come today. He could actually come before this service is over.
Oh, yeah.
You see, but a lot of us don't believe such things. We haven't thought about such things. That Jesus could come at any time. Amen.
Amen.
But when you have such thoughts on your mind, you will live zealously for him and do the right thing. Say amen.
Amen.
Yeah. When you are thinking about Jesus coming at any time, it's easy to forgive people who offend you.
Yes.
Because you are afraid that, you know, if he comes to catch you at the wrong spot of forgiveness, you can easily miss heaven. Do you understand? So you are able to process things, you are able to let things go because you are thinking that Jesus is going to come again. Amen.
Amen.
Do you believe Jesus is coming again?
Yeah.
In the Bible, says they had a greeting. They said, Maranatha, which means Jesus is coming. So when you meet your brother, you say, Maranatha. That means you remind your brother that Jesus is coming.
Wow.
You see, these days we say, Charlie. Charlie, how? It's powerful. Charlie, I see you prospering. Charlie, I see things happening. Things are moving. Things are happening. Yeah. It's all for here and about here. But we need to think about heaven.
Yeah.
All the things we are working for are things we need just because we are here. Do you understand? It's because we're here. But it's not the reason for being here. We're in transition. Amen. We're in transition on our way somewhere else. And we must not get too obsessed with the things here that we miss our flight. Recently, when I came from Ghana, I came through Amsterdam, you know. And when, while I was in Amsterdam, if you've been to the Amsterdam airport, you see, there's a lot to see.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes people get so obsessed with the things in the airport, they miss their flight. Yeah? They just see the shops and the things that are for sale and so many things that you forget that this is not your home. This is not home. You're just passing through this place. And yes, it has attractions. It has things to engage you. But this is not the stop. This is not it. This is not it. And you are supposed to keep looking at the things, but keep an ear out for your flight. You are supposed to be expecting your flight to be called at any time. You're expecting your flight. And you start walking towards the gate so that you're not caught at the wrong place when it's time to fly out. Say amen.
Amen.
Let me give you one more thing to do to stay zealous before we close. And that one more thing is believing that you can die at any time.
Amen.
Yeah. The other thing to help you to stay zealous is believing that you can die at any time. Now, this is a hard sell for some kind of Christians, because the only thing they understand is that you're going to grow to be very, very old before you die. Do you understand? But a Christian must believe that you can actually die at any time. When you think that way, it puts some fire and energy in you for doing what you have to do for the Lord. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And staying zealous. Amen.
Amen.
The Bible is full of young people who died. Some of God's favorite people died while they were young. Like, this is my son in whom I'm well pleased. Do you know that son?
Yeah.
The son in whom I'm well pleased died at age 33. Are you understanding what I'm saying? You don't have to live very long to live a fruitful life. It's a matter of when God has appointed for you to die. We all trust God and pray that we're going to grow to be a good old age, you know, so we can have the opportunity to do more for the Lord. But I can tell you that a lot of Christians who even want to grow very old and so on, it's not because they want to do more for the Lord. It's like, I want to grow very old so I see what my grandchildren will look like. I'd like to see Joel's kids. I'd like to see Jason's kids. I'd like to see what they are going to call them and such things. So you can have such selfish reasons for wanting to grow very old. Wouldn't you like to see Jason's kids one day? You don't tell them a thing or two. He has a different motive. It's not because he wants more opportunity to do more for the Lord. It's not because he wants to live longer and accomplish more for the Lord. You must want the opportunity to live longer and to stay healthier you see, for longer, so you can do more for the Lord. But then, God is the one you're working for, and He will determine when you have done enough, when you have done what He wants you to do, or what He set you here to do. The Bible says God has appointed our bounds, and we cannot pass. There's a date somewhere that you own. And when that time comes, you will not be able to cross it wherever you are. Do you see what I'm saying? But the thing is, we don't know the time. We don't know. Imagine that you have work to do or even a test to write. The test is in front of you, but you don't know what time is stop work.
Hey.
Wouldn't you be a fool just to be sitting there chatting around? You don't know. You have the test in front of you, but you don't know what time is stop work. You just know that you have this test to write. And a lot of us Christians today don't realize that we all have this test in front of us. What we don't know is what time is stop work. And we all assume that stop work is the same for all of us. But it's not the case. Everybody's stop work time is different. Do you understand?
Yeah.
So when you have a work to do and you don't know how long you have to do it, what do? You get on with it.
Yeah.
Finish it. If you finish and there's time, we can chat.
Yeah,
right. Isn't it?
Yeah.
If you finish the work and there's time, we can chat. You finish what you're doing and you realize that the Lord has given you more time, you just relax. You see what I'm saying? You just relax and you just enjoy your life after you've finished what you're doing. And in the Lord's own time, He comes for you. Do you understand what I'm sharing with you? But you don't waste precious time relaxing when you don't know how much time you have. That is why it is prudent. The Bible says, teach us to number our days. Psalm 90 and verse 12. It says, teach us to number our days so that we can apply our hearts unto wisdom. That means teach us to know that we don't have forever. You see, it says, so teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom, that we may change the way we think, to realize that we don't have forever. Amen. If you understand that we don't have forever, you don't let the life that somebody is living affect or influence yours. Amen. Because you were born alone, most likely you die alone. It's very unlikely that our stop work time is the same. Do you understand? Even for couples, some you have to understand, you were born into this world with your date stamped before you met your spouse.
Yeah.
So there is an agenda for your life that does not cancel just because you met so and so. Hallelujah. So as you live your life and as you live on and on, you have to have that in mind. You see, it is very, very rare that couples die on the same day. Most of the time, one buries the other. That is how it works. More commonly, you find one person, they thought they were going to go together. Sometimes one is even planning and giving instructions to the other one, when I die, do this, do this, do this. Not knowing the one you are instructing is the one who's going to go first.
Wow.
You don't even know. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So to stay zealous for the Lord, you have to have that in mind. Someone once said that if you want to be a wise person, always think about the fact that death can be at any time. If you want to be wise. Amen. If you were to think about death as something that can happen at any time, you put your things in order. You understand? If you have something to say, you say it. If you have something to do, you do it. When you start to think that you're forever, even the most important things don't get done because you think you'll have forever. It can be done next week, can be done at any time. You understand? But when you start to think always, and look, today could be the last day. You know, it doesn't mean you don't have faith. It's not a faith thing. Is wisdom. Do you understand?
Yeah.
And if you know that all human beings expire at some point, and no one knows what that date is for them, and that has happened and happened and happened and happened, you know, it makes you wise and it makes you stay perpetually on fire for the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
I want to remain on fire for the Lord.
Amen.
And if you do these three things, it's going to help keep you zealously affected in a good thing. Always, always you'll be zealously affected with a good thing. And you will find that your Christian life will last long and long and long until Jesus comes. Say amen.
Amen.
Stand to your feet and let's bring the service to a close. Hallelujah. Right, we'll continue next week. Amen.
Amen.
I'll share with you some more things you can do to stay zealous for the Lord. Hallelujah. Yeah, play the music, Pastor Charles, and let's see which one. Let's see. Come on. All right. Normal duties, but your eye must be on the chair. If the Lord comes, you must not miss your spot. Because the child has missed the rapture. This is the second time, right? All right, let's pray. Let's pray. Just bow your heads, everybody, and pray and ask the Lord to help you stay zealous, because it is good to be zealously affected in a good thing always. And Paul said, not only when I'm with you, not only when someone is pushing you, not only when someone is making you do it, but he said, even when I'm absent, when I'm not with you, your lifestyle must be that you are always zealously affected, zealously impacted and involved with something good all the time. Thank you, Lord. Just pray, everybody, and ask God to keep you zealous for him until the end. And Lord, I don't want marriage to make me cold. I don't want raising children to make me cold. I don't want having to go to school to make me cold. I don't want having to pursue a career to make me cold. I don't want any of those things to distract me and to cause me to lose my attention in the name of Jesus. Help me, Lord. Help me, Lord, to stay focused, to stay focused, to stay focused in the name of Jesus. Oh, yes, Lord. Thank you. Thank you. We don't want to lose our fire, Lord. We want to continue to burn and to be aglow, to stay aglow for Jesus, and to stay on fire for you in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. 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 Father, we thank you for today, and we thank you for your blessing. Thank you for encouraging us to stay zealous and on fire for you. We pray, oh God, that these three things, number one, not comparing ourselves with ourselves, not using other Christians and what they do or do not do as the standard for our Christianity, that we will not measure ourselves among ourselves, that, Lord, we will pursue the faith and the calling upon our lives and take advantage of the opportunity you give us and the time that you have given us in the name of Jesus. Teach us also, O God, to have an expectation of the coming of Christ. May we not lose sight of the fact that Jesus left us here and said, I'm coming back again. May we not forget about the rapture, that one day two women will be grinding at the mill and one will be taken suddenly and the other one will be left behind. We pray that you will put us as a church in a state of readiness, that none of us will be left behind, that no matter what happens, we will all be ready, no matter where we are, no matter where and what we are doing when it happens, we will still be in a state of readiness to make the rapture when you come to take away your own in the name of Jesus. We pray, oh God, that you give us the wisdom of understanding that we do not have forever, that we may be living here, we may be young, we may have so much going on in our lives, we may even be so busy, we will not be deceived that Busyness means that we have more time. We pray, oh God, that you will bless us with such high wisdom and the courage to think along those lines so we can remain zealous and on fire and never go down in our love for you and in our zeal for your work. We thank you, Lord, for today and for your blessing. In Jesus' name, amen.